How come there is silence in the house? Welcome to the house of our Father.
Amen.
Is it your Father's house?
Yes.
Is it my Father's house?
Yes.
So it is our Father's house.
Yes.
The writer of Psalms 118 verse 8 says something like this. I'll read that to you before I forget. Right, if you are there with me. Psalm 118. Who gets there first? Who is there? No one? Let's go then. Are you there? It says this. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in men. Amen. I am so encouraged with the testimonies that were given this morning. My God is so powerful. There is power in the name of Jesus. If you call his name, everything will just happen. Believe it or not. Don't doubt it when you call his name. Before I bring my service this morning, you know, I've got three daughters and a son. And they've blessed me in my ministry. Sometimes they challenge me and they make me grow. But this morning, one of my daughters said, Dad, before you deliver your sermon, I want to sing for you to bless your preaching. So I said, really? She said, yes, Dad, I want to sing for you. So I can't ask Diana to come and sing, as she said she's going to bless me before I preach. Hopefully that will make me to listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying to me as I preach.
Oh, now it's on. I'd like to greet you all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I'd like to greet you all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's better. I'm just going to bless you with a little song. If you just let the words of it minister to you. Lord, if I found favor in your sight, Lord, please hear my heart's cry. I'm desperately waiting to be where you are. I'll cross the hottest desert, I'll travel near or far. For your glory, I will do anything just to see you, to behold you as my King. For your glory, I will do anything just to see you, to behold you as my King. Lord, if I find favor in your sight, Lord, please hear my heart's cry. I'm desperately waiting to be where you are. I'll cross the hottest desert, I'll travel near or far. For your glory, I will do anything just to see you, to behold you as my King. For your glory, I will do anything just to see you, to behold you as my King. I wanna be where you are. I gotta be where you are. I wanna be where you are. I gotta be where you are. Love is where you are. Joy is where you are. Peace is where you are. For your glory, I will do anything just to see you, Lord, to behold you as my King. I want to be where you are.
Thank you, Diana. I want to be where you are. Love and joy is where you are. Yes? The Bible says, if you don't have love, you don't know God, because God is love. Am I right? Thank you. This morning, as I'm going to bringing the word of God to you, I wish if I could actually do what Diana was singing about, just to listen what God is telling me. But before I do that, I've got another reading that I want to do for you, which appeared on our screen, but we didn't read it. I left it purposely so that I can read it for you. In the book of 1 Samuel 18. Are we there? This is a very famous story. Some of you might know it off by head right now, but let's read together as children of God. I'll read. After David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. From that day, Saul kept David with him and did not let him return to his father's house. And Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Jonathan took off the robe he was wearing and gave it to David, along with his tunic and even his sword, his bow and his belt. Whatever Saul sent him to do, David did so successfully that Saul gave him a high rank in the army. This pleased all people and Saul's officers as well. When the men were returning home after David had killed the Philistines, the women came out from all the town of Israel to meet King Saul with singing and dancing, with joyful songs and with tambourines and lutes. As they danced, they sang, "Saul has slain his thousands, and David his ten of thousands." Saul was very angry. This refrain galled him. "They've credited David with 10,000, 10 of thousands," he thought. "But me with only thousands. What more he get by the kingdom?" And from that time on, Saul kept a jealous eye on David. The next day, an evil spirit from God came forcefully upon Saul. He was prophesying in his house while David was playing the harp, as he usually did. Saul had a spear in his hand, and he held it, saying to himself, "I'll pin David on the wall." But David eluded him two times. Praise be to the word of God. Let's pray together. Father God, we want to thank you for your word that speaks the truth. We want to thank you too, Father, for the promise that Christ said he is going to the Father and he will ask the Father to send a comforter. It is that comforter, Father, we are praying this morning that when we hear your word, let the comforter help us to remember and obey your word. Lord, open our hearts this morning as we listen to what you want to say to us. In Jesus' name, amen. May I have the screen on, please, before I start? Thank you. Some of you have seen that crew there on your televisions. If your television is like mine, you've seen those four on your screens. What pleases me about these four is that they work in unison. They work as a team. Pardon? No, they do. Yeah, listen to what I'm going to say. They work as a team. So this show is called X Factor. Yes? If you haven't watched it, this is watched mainly on all screens in England by the average age. Hello? Right? Yes, I'm going there. Hold on. Yes. Right. This show is called The X Factor. What happens on this show is there is a group of different contestants. They come to this show, right? They sing songs of their choice. And these judges, we've got Simon Cowell. What's the other one again? Louis. We've got Louis. We've got Cheryl. We've got Mel. So what they do is, there is also a gallery in the audience, spectators who are in there. All right, they will be cheering these people up. Even their family members are there. So the judges will be listening to them, yes? As they listen to them, they pass their comment. There's one outstanding judge there who is always the last one to say what he wants to say. Even sometimes the audience said, he goes, hold on, I've got to say what I want to say to encourage these contestants, okay? That guy is the only boss of the X Factor. His name is Simon Cowell. He's always in a white shirt and buttoned on the chest. So there's only one boss on the X Factor panel. So today in my sermon, I thought I want to talk about authority, jealousy, and cowards. Okay? Why am I saying so? Because on this day, the story that John read to us, Jesus was walking in the temple and the elders were there. Teachers of the law were there. There's another group who was there as well, if you can remember. There were three groups. Teachers of the law, the elders, what's the other one? It's only a few minutes they've gone. John was reading. What has gone wrong? Come on. You've forgotten already. Okay, let's go to our Bibles. They arrived again in Jerusalem. And while Jesus was walking in the temple courts, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders came to him. The chief priest is the group that I was asking. But well, it had deluded you. So they came to Jesus and they knew what they were doing. You know why they were doing this? Because the time was up. The act was over. This is the Messiah who was being prophesied before. And these guys, we've got teachers of the law, the priests, who should know, but they didn't know. Then they asked Jesus, whose authority are you using? And the Bible says, he was doing all these things. What are these things? What are things? Who can tell me what are things? No one knows what are things. The Bible doesn't say that. But if you read the Bible, if you go to Book of John, chapter 5, they also say Jesus was doing these things. What are the things? Jesus was healing. Jesus was raising people from the dead. Jesus was casting out evil spirits. But on that day, he wanted to show them, where does authority come from? There are only two sources of authority in the religious world. One is from heaven. The second one is from men. Amen? To support my statement, can someone read for me Mark 11, verse 30? Yes. that is Jesus' question. John's baptism, was it from heaven or from men? That is the point, that men's authority, second authority, is from men. And then the second authority, which is from heaven. Can someone read for me Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Jesus speaks in there where the authority is coming from. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Hallelujah. So, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders, they were missing it. There is where authority comes from. Jesus, when he was walking there, he was not even saying, I'm challenging you in the temple. He was coming to declare where authority comes from. He was coming to declare who has authorized him to do things that he was doing. Doesn't Solomon write in the Proverbs 1, verse 7, trust in the Lord is the beginning of all what? Wisdom. So, this is what we should, as we come to this story, as we follow Jesus speaking, we should just put this behind our minds. What is happening here? You remember I said to you, authority comes from two sources, God and man. So Jesus was coming from home. His Father is in heaven. That's his home. So authority also is at home, where we come from. The pillars of authority are at home. So children, when they see mom and dad, they learn from them. You agree with me? If mom and dad are always at each other's throat, that child learns violence. Okay? If dad is always a coward in the community, when someone knocks at the door, he pushes mom to go and open the door, that child becomes a coward at school. There's a story I was reading here of a small boy. He never grew to be a man. A true story of stalkers and their victims. I'll be watching you. This young man, his name is Mark David Chapman. Some of you who know the history of this country, he is the young man who made John Lennon in America. Because he grew with that idea of being a violent person. Though he was a born-again Christian, but that mind didn't come out of him. He said he had a voice saying to him, do it, go and kill John Lennon. For nothing, he hadn't done nothing. But because that is where he grew, the type of culture that he was brought up in. Authority is at home. You learn it at home. As I carry on, Jesus now is telling them, he said, I have been given authority by my Father. He also says in John 13 verse 20, I tell you the truth, whoever accepts me, accepts the one who sent me. So authority is from above. This is the word of Jesus, not mine. As he is sent from the Father, he also now is sending us. So he's giving us that authority. So authority is from God to men. Jesus is a man. Do you agree with me? So he's sending us that authority to us. By obeying him, the Bible says we are becoming his ambassadors. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Says that we are Christ's ambassadors. We are telling others about this Jesus. It's not our authority. Our authority is coming from above. So, this is what authority is all about. In verse 28, the elders and the teachers and the high priest ask, by what authority are you doing these things? What are these things? I've asked you already. Jesus was healing. Jesus was raising people. Jesus was doing all lots of things. But also at that time, people were puzzled. What type of teaching is this? Is this a new kind of teaching? Yes, it was a new kind of teaching because it had never happened before. Truly, this Jesus has authority. He also has authority to do whatever. I was encouraged by testimonies that were given this morning. This is my Jesus. He is the only boss. Do you agree with me? If you agree with me, tell your neighbor that Jesus is the only boss. Tell your neighbor, the one sitting next to you, Jesus is the only boss. Yes, he is. So if you are not saying Jesus is the only boss, you are a jealous person. You look at those titles on there. We're talking about authority, jealousy. So if you can't say Jesus is the only boss, you are a jealous person this morning. Amen. So the high priest, the teachers of the law, and the elders were jealous of Jesus. Why? Because they were popular in society. So they were highly regarded in this society. So when Jesus came now, they thought, this fella now. What kind of teaching is this? So there were jealousy of what was going to happen. Talking about jealousy, Saul had such an idea. I read that story to you. When the women were singing, he has slain 10,000 and Saul only 1,000. Saul became jealousy. Do you know jealousy? I was reading also Shakespeare, he wrote a story. He says jealous is a monster. And he goes on to say it's a green-eyed monster which won't let go. This book as well, there is a story of stalkers. You know what a stalker does? Mainly it's in love relationships. When someone is told, well, our affair is over because of the jealous not to want to let go, they will stalk that person. They say stalkers are very clever. You don't know that they are following you, but they are. But they are stupid as well. Because that person has got his or her life to go. Usually it's men who stalk women. The youngest stalker was in America, a boy aged 9. He was stalking a girl of 10. And he sent 200 messages to this girl. Stalking is caused by jealousy. Sometimes we need to let go. Don't be jealousy. Let go. Saul was so much preoccupied by jealousy till he died. He was still jealousy. The Bible says 10 times he tried to kill David, but he couldn't because David had someone who was protecting him. The Bible says he tried several times even to send him on the battlefront, but he couldn't because a special one was protecting him. While sometimes we are preoccupied by jealous tendencies, the Lord is protecting the ones we are jealous against. Doesn't the Bible say in Isaiah 54 verse 17, weapon set against you shall not prosper? It doesn't end there. It says even if they say such words to you, rebuke them because you are in the Lord. This was happening to Jesus now. They're all saying this. He rebuked them in the name of the Lord. Even David, when he wanted to be killed by Saul, because God was protecting him. Even Saul prepared all these schemes to kill him. The Lord was protecting him. All weapon prepared against you won't prosper, because God is protecting you. Going back to our story in the temple, the writer of Hebrews also wrote this about this very Jesus, Hebrews 5, verse 5. This answers us as we question ourselves, what authority are you doing these things? In this Hebrew text, God himself said, you are my son. Today, I've become your father. Doesn't it say also in John 5, verse 17? Jesus was being asked, what authority are you using to do these things? That's in the book of John. He says, isn't my father working? My father is always working, so I am also working. So he actually is emphasizing where his authority is coming from. The Jews tried to kill him for saying that. You are also calling yourself God? Why were they trying to call him? He's the son of God anyway. But the declaration is also found in Psalms 110, verse 4. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Forgive me for pronouncing this word wrongly. But on Psalms 104 verse 4, it says, "The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." If that is the right Hebrew name. But this is what it says. So it answers the elders, the high priest, and the teachers of the law. Where is Jesus' authority coming from? God himself has declared, "You will be a high priest forever." That is my Jesus. That's why I said he is the only boss. I don't know about you, but to me, he is the only boss. Yes, thank you. Well, after this brief fact about Jesus' source of authority, I want to make it clear. When you are a jealous person, you are a coward. You remember when the late Princess Diane, when she was in France, the paparazzi were after her, right? They were stalking her because they wanted to write news. That's a sign of a coward person. Why do you stalk on someone? Eventually, they caused the death of Princess Diane because of stalking. This is what jealous can do. It can lead other people to death because you are a coward. You don't want to come out in the open. So, this morning, we are reminded that the authority of Jesus is from his Father. We've read those texts they've told us. And also Paul writes to say, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. Hallelujah. Let them be trying to be jealousy. Let those cowards come and try to attack you. You must have peace. Because before you know, the Holy Spirit is interceding for you to our Father. So you must have a peace of mind. If you don't know, jealousy is such a monster that can ruin your life and other people's life. If you don't know, if you are a coward, you cause other people to lose their lives. It's the story of Princess Diana that I've just told you now. So, this morning, I want to say to you, there is only one boss who can protect you and me. As I conclude, only Jesus is our King and Lord. Jealousy and cowards will not lead us astray. If you agree with me, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. That brings the service to an end. But before we finish, we will sing our closing hymn. And then I will say a prayer to conclude our service. May we stand up to